Question. So what could change the persistent cycle of arrest and rearrest for minor crimes in cities around the United States, including New York City? Giving people a home?
These are closets. And this is another closet. This is the bedroom. This is my kitchen there.
A tour from George Washington, that's his real name, of his apartment. His apartment, part of a New York City program to provide permanent housing to people like Washington who have been through both the homeless shelter system and the jail system more than five times in 4 years. Christy Thompson is a writer for the Marshall Project and has written about the New York City mayor's initiative, Justice Involved Supportive Housing, that's the title of it, that aims to save the city money by giving people homes, hoping that stability will lead to progress for this population.
This program focuses on this specific group of people that are kind of known as frequent flyers, which are people that are going in and out of the jail over and over again. George Washington, who I spoke to, had been in 13 times in 4 years.
So they moved me from Nash, from 51st Street, to a shelter in Brooklyn. From the shelter in Brooklyn, they moved me to another shelter in Brooklyn. From that shelter in Brooklyn, they moved me to a hotel, like a Holiday Inn, regular hotel. We had everything. The maids come make up our beds and everything. Didn't mess with none of your stuff. Something went wrong there. And they started moving everybody that was in that hotel back to shelters. And they moved me back to 51st Street.
Where was he from?
The Bronx.
The Bronx, okay.
And usually it's for these incredibly low-level misdemeanor offenses, you know, public urination, public intoxication, hopping a turnstile. And what happens is, you know, they get arrested for these crimes, usually having to do with the fact that they were, you know, broke, homeless, unemployed, possibly addicted to drugs, get arrested, come out, and put back in the exact same circumstances that got them in jail in the first place. So what's unique about this program is that instead of just sending them back to a shelter where most people leaving jail end up going, it provides them with a stable apartment. And they've found that just giving people homes actually cuts down a lot on how often they end up in jail.
How long can they have this home?
It's permanent. It's indefinite.
Permanent. Really?
Yes.
So it's essentially a rent subsidy with no end in sight.
Right. And, you know, what's interesting about it is that sounds like a pretty expensive undertaking for the city. But the cost of sending someone to jail and a homeless shelter and often the ER room because they don't have steady health care is $16,000 per year more expensive than giving them an apartment.
Now, I can imagine what the difference would be here in terms of the impact this would have on someone. But, you know, it's not the microwave. It's not the refrigerator. It's not the nice carpeting. What makes the transition?
You know, that's a question I asked Liz Glazer, who's the head of the criminal justice office at the mayor's office. And something she noted was, say, for example, you have a serious mental illness and you're living on the streets. Your whole sense of stability and scheduling is completely gone. So you're not going to remember to pick up your medication, take your medication, know how to get there, have a, you know, return address for someone when you're trying to apply for a job. It just completely destabilizes you if you don't have a place to live.
It's hard if you're used to one kind of life to live another kind of life. Everybody in one degree or another experiences that in their own lives. And so learning how to live on your own in an apartment, to have sort of a regular way of addressing certain things, to begin to go out and get ready for work, to get up at a regular time, to appear at work in a regular way. All of those things are things that are learned behaviors as much as anything else. And I think that's a challenge.
And given the circumstances of whatever rehabilitation is required, someone in this cycle, having that apartment is kind of like a safety net.
Absolutely. And it also, you know, there's a lot of danger that comes with living out on the streets. We know that there's a lot of problems with safety in our shelter community. It just completely anchors your life if you have a steady place to come home to every day where you are safe and your possessions are safe. Also, a lot of times, depending on, you know, what kind of temporary housing you get, if you go back to using drugs, you can lose your home, lose your job. And something that's important about this program is that they expect people to mess up. They expect people to possibly get arrested again or go back to using drugs.
I mean, I think among, you know, the social service professionals, relapse is part of recovery. And so there's an understanding that that is something that is going to happen.
And that doesn't mean you're going to lose your home. You're still going to have that when you come back.
How do you discuss the New York Post headline in a program like this? You know, mass arrest at city-subsidized crack house. I mean, that's the worst-case scenario, right?
True. And
somebody using the apartment as a place for crime.
Right. You know, they do have a lease with their landlord. So if they're breaking the rules of their lease or if the landlord sees problems with them, they still have the right to evict them. And another point, too, that I want to make is that these apartments are scattered throughout the city. They didn't want to kind of group everyone into one building, into one neighborhood of New York.
Because now I'm at peace of mind. I'm away from the so-called associates, acquaintances that I used to want to be around with, who was indulgent at the time. Right now, I'm just striving to keep this roof over my head and do what I have to do to stay focused and stay drug-free.
George is someone who is pretty open about his lapses. He, you know, relapsed last summer, and that initial apartment you heard him talking about was in a different neighborhood through this program, and he realized pretty quickly that it wasn't a good place for him. And Camba, which is a nonprofit that's helping him, moved him to a new neighborhood, kind of away from those influences, and so far seems to be helping a lot.
How does this scale up? I mean, if America actually makes the decision to reduce the number of people in prison by, say, a million, would something like this actually offer lessons to policymakers who want to do this on a national scale?
I think so, because in terms of scalability, what the numbers show anyways is that this is cheaper than what we've been doing. I think something else is that this kind of housing becomes necessary because of a lot of other restrictions. For example, a lot of public housing authorities won't take people that have a criminal conviction. If you've been in prison under the federal definition, that doesn't mean that you were homeless. So when you come out, you're not a priority to get access to any of the publicly funding housing that is already available. So I think there's also a lot of other restrictions that we have on finding homes for this group of people coming out of prison that if you rethought those, you maybe wouldn't need this specific targeted program.
What do you think the future of George Washington is?
Last time we talked, he's been spending a lot of time with his grandnieces and nephews looking for a job, continuing to go to treatment. So that's where he's at right now, and it looks like he'll be in that apartment for as long as he wants to.
She writes for the Marshall Project, Christy Thompson. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.